This is Like Effect on WUWM. We're talking about issues surrounding wellness and aging in the 21st century during our Project Milwaukee series, Wise Today, Well Tomorrow. A report just this month from the Wisconsin Council on Medical Education and Workforce says the state already suffers from a shortage of primary care physicians. And most experts agree that as the population of both doctors and patients gets older, the shortage is going to get worse. One of the reasons for the shortfall is that primary care doctors generally earn less than their counterparts in specialty areas, sometimes a lot less. But a new model called the medical home model seeks to address both the primary care shortage and the issue of coordinating care among a patient's continuum of providers. Dr. Shelley Jane is a psychiatrist with Aurora Behavioral Health Services, a professor of psychiatry at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and our regular medical contributor. And she joins us now to talk about this evolving concept. Welcome back to the program.
It's wonderful to be here.
Explain this so-called medical home concept. What's in it for patients? What's in it for doctors?
It's a real buzzword in medicine right now. It's hard to define it completely, but there are some core features. First of all, a medical home would have a physician-directed medical practice. It would include a personal doctor for every patient. And the home would have the capacity to coordinate high-quality, accessible care. And that word coordinate really is. It's something I'm really happy about, that folks are recognizing we need attention to coordinating medical care. It's becoming, medical care is so complicated. There's so many specialists involved in an individual person's care, and managing all that, staying on top of it, really requires a high level of coordination. So there's some recognition now that we need to be reimbursing doctors for doing that as well, incentivizing doctors to put an emphasis on other forms of communication, such as email, telephone conversations, doing preventative care stuff, you know, reminding their patients to get mammograms, pap smears, colon screening, things like that. So that's the promise of the medical home, that it would offer an elevated level of primary care by recognizing work that hasn't really been recognized in a formal way up until now.
Does this model put the primary care physician in the position of being the coordinator, or is there someone within this medical home that would serve as the coordinator, taking into account what the primary care physician is doing and maybe what the specialists are doing as well?
It's physician-directed, so it would be the primary care provider. And really, historically, that has been what a primary care provider's job has been, an internist or a family doctor. That has been their role. That's the crucial part of what they do. They help patients through management of chronic medical illnesses, but it's become harder and harder for them to do it. So a lot of what the medical home would do would be maybe augment staff services, you know, implement technology that would help the primary care provider do it better. Ultimately, though, the physician would be the one who would be directing the practice.
And one of the benefits that advocates tout is that it would eventually lower costs. I mean, it's a bit counterintuitive, because one of the things that it would also do is compensate these primary care physicians for this extra service that they're providing, whether it's spending time on email or on the phone or what have you. But advocates believe that eventually it would lower costs overall.
Right. And this comes down to a crucial point about how historically medical services have been reimbursed in this country. So historically, it's been procedure-driven and volume-driven. So basically, the more you do, the more you get paid. And this kind of what I call quiet work of medicine, or the cognitive work of medicine, really is just as important in its own way, but has gone unrecognized. So the idea is you're shifting payment there. So physicians would be encouraged to think about what's going on with their patients, to go that extra mile, to communicate with family members and patients, to get recognition for that kind of work. And then the idea is you pick up on stuff, you catch stuff earlier, you prevent hospitalizations, you prevent diseases from advancing, you cut them, you know, you get early detection. And in that way, it's hoped that there will be bigger savings in the long run.
Well, and presumably this is the kind of experiment that would take a while to prove whether the initial costs are worth it, both the costs of paying the doctors more, but also the administrative kinds of costs that would go into setting up a system like this.
Right. It would take a while. It is theoretical that there would be an improvement. But as a physician, I think it kind of appeals to me. It makes absolute sense that in the long run, if this was done right, we would save healthcare costs. And obviously that's a big problem. The other crucial thing is we need to attract more medical students into primary care, and the number of students coming into primary care has gone down drastically. And I think the reason they're not coming in is not necessarily because of a reduced income. The reason they're not coming in is that there's a perception by medical students that primary care isn't what it used to be. It's a lot of paperwork and it's very difficult for you to do your job. It's very difficult for you to have that one-on-one relationship with patients, that intimate relationship that you'd like to know family members, to know what's going on. So medical students aren't coming into primary care, but hopefully if we can convince them that they can do their job the way they want to do it, they would come in, and that in itself would be very useful for healthcare.
People often think of the other side of the equation, these faceless HMOs where you're never seeing the same physician twice in a row. Mm-hmm. And that's not just a problem for the patients, but the doctors must not like that either, that they never sort of get into a position where they're seeing the same patients over and over again. At mm-hmm. least for the physicians that are in one of those systems.
Mm-hmm. I think most physicians, they really enjoy being able to have continuity of care, and it's really frustrating when you might not have control over if somebody can come back to see you or not. And, you know, continuity of care is crucial to a long-term healing relationship. And the fact is that many diseases, they're chronic diseases. If you think about diabetes, asthma, they're chronic diseases that need management over time. And it involves caring for the patient, not just treating them. And that needs a relationship. And overall, you know, you'd hope that if folks got better continuity of care, it could contribute to more satisfaction, less use or misuse of services, and just better service for everybody, doctor and patient.
Is the issue of pay one that has really inhibited the use of things like email and phone calls during non-office hours? Is that the major concern that physicians generally have to extending themselves to providing services that way? Or are there other issues at work?
That's an interesting question. I don't think it's the issue of pay in of itself. It's just not having enough hours in the day. And obviously what we do on a daily basis, we have to triage, we have to make sure everybody is safe, we've got to put out fires, we've got to focus on, you know, doing our job and keeping people well. And oftentimes what happens is the correspondence, the phone calls, there might be other logistical issues why physicians don't want to use email, confidentiality issues and things like that, but that usually comes at the end of the day, all that important communication. Just by way of the way a day is structured and what support you have to do those crucial things, it would be great if just payers would give more value to how important it is for doctors to be communicating with patients. I think that would help make it more of a priority. I don't think it was just a matter of cost why physicians have been reluctant to do it. It's a practical issue.
Well, thank you, and I'm sure we'll revisit this topic again.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Lake Effect contributor Dr. Shelley Jane is a psychiatrist with Aurora Behavioral Health Services, a professor of psychiatry at the Medical College of Wisconsin, and a regular Lake Effect contributor. She wrote a book about the relationship between physicians and drug companies, and she maintains a website about doctors' bedside manners.